they retired, and so that was incredible, and they're moved closer to family, and now I'm back because we've got a new pastor in place. Isn't that exciting? Praise the Lord. I am as excited as you are, maybe more, because we have 90 churches in the Assemblies of God across Nebraska, and we have almost 300 ministers. I'm the superintendent. That means I'm the head of the organization. And so I work with all of our churches whenever there's a pastoral vacancy. And we have about 6 churches that are open right now and looking for a pastor. And some of them have been open for quite a while. We've had a year or two. And so in just a few months, God brought your pastor and their family here. And I just think that's a miracle. And so thank you, God. Thank you, God. And thank you, John. We're going to have a great day today. I'm going to preach a message here that's focused on hearing God's voice. If you want to open up your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Judges, we'll go there in just a bit. At the end of the ceremony, we're going to actually have a moment where we call it a pastoral installation. And that's the word. And I'll be performing that ceremony, and everybody gets to be involved. Even if you're a visitor here, you visited on the right day, because we're just going to welcome you into the church today, and everybody gets to be involved in this powerful spiritual moment of allowing God to give us a new pastor to shepherd us and to watch over us here in Alliance and the surrounding areas. I send greetings from all of our ministers and missionaries around the world. This last week has been an incredible week for the Assemblies of God in Nebraska. We started off, I had a group of about 30 of us that were in Houston for what we call the Church Multiplication Network Conference, CMN. And it's all about planting churches. And so we had 3 or 4 churches that sent teams of people there, and they all came back ready to plant new churches in new communities for the glory of God. So that's exciting. That's one of the good things we do as a network, is we're trying to spread the gospel to places where maybe it's not as popular, or maybe not at all. And especially in the Assemblies of God, we believe in the Pentecostal tradition. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, and be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and worshiping with passion like we just did, and the altars being full of people responding to God. And so we want to spread that everywhere we can. So I'm excited because even this year, we have a church plant that's already underway and is going to officially launch later this year in downtown Lincoln, and our capital city over on the other side of the state. And I'm excited because it's an African congregation. So we have a very strong African church in Omaha that has about 250 people. I was there back in October, September last year. Some of you remember a previous superintendent named Dwight Sandoz. Dwight pastored just down the road here in Minutair for several years. He was my superintendent. I was the youth director of Nebraska for about 15 years. He's the one that hired me to that position and brought me into network leadership. And so I still honor him as a pastor for me. And we were together at their church back in October celebrating this launch of this campus in Lincoln. And it was so exciting because there was about 120 or so people there. And then they brought the kids in for a BGMC offering. That's the way the kids give money to missions. And they had about 150 kids, and they just kept coming and coming and coming. And I said, Lord, multiply, but maybe you don't multiply too much. You know, we don't have room for all these kids. I didn't say that, but how incredible. And so I'm excited because that's a new campus that's going to be happening in Lincoln. We also, in a couple months, I'm going to go to Beatrice. That's a city south of Lincoln where we had a church that had a pastor left, and the church went through a difficult time. And another church reached out to them and started partnering with them, what we call a PAC, a parent-affiliated church. And so that campus has now come back to life, and I'll be there to help again install a new campus pastor and launch that campus in Beatrice. So that's the second plant, if you will, that's happening. And then I've got 2 or 3 options that are underway. So praise God for new churches being planted. Amen? Amen. Then on Thursday, we had a celebration of life ceremony for my predecessor, Bob Wine. His wife, Connie, went to be with the Lord. Now, some of you, maybe you're hearing that for the first time. Connie was our women's ministry director, would have been from, let's see, they were leading for about 7 years, so maybe 2013 to 2020, somewhere in that time period. So if you ever went to a women's retreat for the network, she was heading that up. She was just a wonderful lady. It's funny because some of you knew my predecessor, Bob Wine, wonderful pastor, but he was the one that was a little more hard-nosed. She was the soft, gentle, everybody loved her, you know, person. And so they were an incredible pair. That's usually how God puts it, right? Look, if you're married, look at your partner. Which one of you is the soft one? Which one's the hard one? Yeah. Let's establish that real quick, right? But I was able to be part of that ceremony as our superintendent. It was such an honor because it was at New Life Incarnate. It's one of our large churches, and it was just packed wall to wall with people just honoring the Wines and honoring Connie. And so I just, if you knew Connie Wine and you want information how you could send a card to Pastor Bob, let me know. I could give that to you. I'm going to hang around for the lunch afterwards and eat a little bit before I head out. I always love to do that. That's usually I always have time for that. And then this weekend, I came out a couple days ago, and I spent yesterday meeting with pastors of various churches in the area. And it was great to hear a report how things are going in Gehring. We have a very strong Assembly of God church in Gehring that is growing in leaps and bounds. Pastor Kylie Calloway is there doing a great job. And then I was up in the very corner of our state, Crawford. Anybody know where Crawford is? Crawford, beautiful, a very beautiful place, especially driving from Scottsbluff up to Crawford. I don't do that road much, but man, that was gorgeous. And Steve Mallory is our pastor there. And again, that church is doing really well as well. So praise God for what God's doing here in the Panhandle. We call this our Chimney Rock section. And I wonder why. And no, we love this section. And so thank God for what God's doing there. Now, before I get into the scriptures, I do want to bring honor to your leadership here, because I've got the privilege of working together with your board over the last several months, interacting almost weekly sometimes, just trying to figure out what God's doing and helping with various things. And I just want to honor your board because I think they have done an outstanding job. So Rosie, Tirza, and Terry, would you guys stand wherever you're at right now? Now, if there's other board members I missed, stand up, but I'm pretty sure it's those three. I saw in the back there was some guys as well. Yeah, stand up if you would. Thank you. I love you guys. Good job. Good work. Thank you for your service. Thank you. And if any of you want to become pastors, I'll just get you right in, all right? Well, maybe. No, thank you so much. And Terry, excellent work. I really am impressed with your leadership, just the anointing on your life. And I pray that God would give every one of our churches a Terry, because you've done a great job. I really do. I'm really proud of you. All right, open up to Judges, if you would. I think you're probably already there. And you can go back one slide, if you would, here. This is the title of my message today, is a buddy study, Judges chapter 6. I want to ask you if you have a lot of friends. You know, one of the reasons we have churches is because God gives us people that become our friends, friends for life, that we can journey through life together, loving God and loving people, which is the greatest commandment. And friends is a big part of church. I know you've got friends here. In fact, when I was enjoying the fellowship time after the first song, that was a beautiful time because everybody's laughing, just a lot of noise, everybody's moving around, and it's just a good sign when a church loves each other. I was at a church once, and this was back when I was a DYD, and it was a smaller church, and there was a middle aisle, and there were people sitting on one side and people on the other, and they pretty much stayed on their side. And I remember talking to the pastor afterwards, and there was a big issue in town over something that was going to be built. And he said, on one side they want it, and on one side they don't. And they stay on their sides. Thank God you're not like that, right? Thank God that we can all love each other. And I just encourage you, you know, if there's things that happen in here that sometimes irk you a little bit, or maybe you get a little frustrated with somebody, that's part of being in church. Because the same thing happens in my family, right? And I don't just disregard my sister because she gets on my nerves every once in a while. I still love her. And I always will, because she's my, and that's the way we should treat our family. So give each other a lot of grace, right? And a lot of fun, because you need each other. And you've got a good thing here. I'm telling you, you've got a great thing here in this church. And God wants to take you even further down the road. So thank God for the friends you have in your life. But some of you might think that you don't have a lot of friends, or maybe you're looking for that person that could meet that need in your life. And maybe you're in a lonely place. I just want to encourage you, there are friends you can find in a spiritual sense when you dive into the Word. Some of the best friends of my life I've been introduced to in the Word of God. Now, yeah, there are people that I don't have a regular conversation with, but I do read the Bible, their stories, and the lessons they learned are lessons I can learn the easy way because they learned them the hard way. And if we learn those lessons, we can probably avoid some of the hard ways that they had to walk through. So they become a friend to me. I want you to think about, who are some of your quote-unquote friends in the Bible? Who are people in the Bible you've learned from their lesson and it's made your life better? That's a friend, right? Well, today I want to talk about one of my best friends in the Bible, and it comes all the way from the book of Judges, chapter 6, verse 11 through 16. This is the story of God's call on a judge named Gideon. So let's read this together. One day an angel from the Lord went to the town of Ophrah. Now, it might be Ophrah, but I like saying Oprah just for the obvious reason, because we have an Oprah in the world today. Just kind of fun. In fact, that might even be her namesake. Who knows? And we sat down under the big tree that belonged to Joash, a member of the Abiezer clan. Joash's son, Gideon, was nearby, threshing grain in a shallow pit where he could not be seen by the Midianites. The angel appeared and spoke to Gideon, "The Lord is helping you, and you are a strong warrior." If you know anything about the life of Gideon, that's his title, strong warrior. Gideon answered, "Please don't take this the wrong way. But if the Lord is helping us, then why have all these awful things happened?" Let's stop there. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like a pastor comes and says, "Isn't God doing great things?" And you're going, "What are you talking about? Have you looked at my life? Have you seen what's going on in my world?" Gideon responded like that. "We've heard how the Lord performed miracles, and he rescued our ancestors from Egypt. But those things happened long ago. Now the Lord has abandoned us to the Midianites." Remember, where he was doing his work, he was hiding from the Midianites. They were a nation subjecting the Israelites at that time. And what they were doing was actually trying to keep them from harvesting their produce so that they could keep them without food and without supplies, so they were needy. So that's why he was doing that in secret for his family. A pretty heroic act. Then the Lord himself said to him, "Gideon, you will be strong, because I am giving you the power to rescue Israel from the Midianites." Gideon replied, "But how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest one in Manasseh, and everyone else in my family is more important than I am." Have you ever felt like that? Earlier I had us talk about which one's the hardy and the softy or whatever. Maybe you feel like you're the lower one. Well, you can relate. Gideon was in that same place. He was from the tribe of Manasseh, which was one of Joseph's sons. The reason there was 12 tribes and not 11 with the 11 sons of Jacob is because Joseph wasn't allowed to be a tribal leader because he grew up in Egypt. But instead, his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, were. And they were two of the lesser-known tribes. In fact, they were two of the more separated tribes if you work throughout history of Israel. So he was in one of those other tribes. You ever felt like you're from the other side of town, the other group? If you have to sit at the kids' table at Thanksgiving, right, that kind of thing. That was Gideon. Finally, last verse here, Gideon, the Lord answered, "You can rescue Israel because I am going to help you. Defeating the Midianites will be as easy as beating up one man." So this is the story I want to preach on today. And I want to talk to you today about God's voice and God's choice. God's voice and God's choice. Let's start first with God's voice. There's two things about God's voice I want to share with you. First, God speaks to us through the supernatural, and God is the answer. Those are the two points. You can write those down. Let's start with the first one. God speaks to us through the supernatural. This story is a great example of that, because what happens? God sends an angel to visit Gideon and speak to him about the call of God on his life. It's a supernatural moment. How many of us would love God to speak to you like that? Maybe you've had that. I have not. God speaks to me often through his Holy Spirit and through the Word of God and through other Christians in my life. But I haven't heard the audible voice. I haven't seen an angel that I'm aware of. So this is something I pray all the time. And actually, I have people in my family and people in my church that pray this a lot. And sometimes they get frustrated. Like, God could speak to Gideon like that. Why can't he do it to me? And sometimes we read the Bible, and that's how we feel, because the Bible is full of story after story where God did reveal himself or speak in a very incredible way. And we begin to think like God did that all the time. But sometimes it's our perspective, because when you read the Bible, it's almost as if the only people on the earth at that time were the people in the story. And we forget that while Gideon's doing this, there's a whole Midianite nation, there's a whole Israelite nation, and there's all others surrounded around the world. Maybe not as many as we have now, but certainly still hundreds of thousands and millions of people. And yet in this moment, God spoke to this one man at this one time, and that's why it's in the Word of God so we can learn from it. Even then, there were probably people outside of Gideon who had Gideon's same thoughts and said, God, where are you? But God chose to speak to Gideon. So we need to remember that those moments were far and few in between. Don't be angry at God because he hasn't sent a dove to rest on your shoulder. I'm the superintendent of Nebraska, and it never happened to me. That doesn't mean God's not speaking, though. That doesn't mean that God isn't doing something for us. You see, sometimes we get so caught up in our world, this physical world that we live in, that we forget about the spiritual world that's behind everything we're doing. When we read the Bible and when we come to church and we sing songs that reminds us of the spiritual world that is more real than this physical world because it's eternal. And this physical world has a deadline. We all know that because even in our own lives, God gave us that process in our bodies. We have a beginning and an end, and that's the physical world that God made for us. And even though you live in this world and it's hard to understand the spiritual world, there will be a day when you will be only in the spiritual world and you'll look back on the physical world and remember the things that we're doing now. In fact, we talked about that in our Sunday school class this morning, which I would encourage you to come to next week. Although, I did talk to one person this morning that said I was late, daylight savings time, right? Best day for an excuse like that ever, right? I was really worried in my hotel room. I'm like, I better get this right. I don't want to show up late today. That would have been a bad first impression with our new pastor. Thank you. In fact, here in a few moments, people might start walking in like it's the beginning of church. Let's just love them. I'm just kidding. But the spiritual world is even more real than the physical world. And there will be a day where we will understand that fully, but now we don't. So it takes faith. That's why Jesus does give us supernatural things to help us at times, to remind us that there's a bigger thing going on around us than just what you can see and feel and touch right now. That's why as Pentecostals, I'm proud of our faith because we're trying to tap into that spiritual world a little bit more. And everybody wants a little bit more of that. But one thing that we forget sometimes is that this physical world is a supernatural way God speaks to us. Because God created this world just for you and for me. It is his creation. And God is divine and supernatural in essence, created it, created you, created me. This world we're living in is a way God speaks to us. And that's a supernatural gift from God. And so I encourage you, those of us that feel like maybe I don't hear God's voice a lot, and you want those big moments like we see here, there's going to be other moments where God speaks to you. And the best way you could start to learn to hear God's voice more in your life is to surround yourself with more God-made things than man-made things. That's why devotions, taking time every day to read the Bible and pray and worship, is such a powerful thing, because you're getting away from the physical world and you're diving into the spiritual world. And you're saying, God, I'm going to surround myself with you, even in these 10 minutes. Speak to me. Half an hour. Speak to me, Lord. And it tunes our senses to hear God's voice better. So if you haven't heard God's voice in a while, don't get angry at God. Change your pattern. Get into God's word a little bit more. Spend some more time seeking after the Lord. I was even thinking as we were worshiping, one thing I missed from being a local pastor, I used to be on staff in Bellevue, all the way over on the other side of the state. It's a good-sized church, but I had the keys to the church like everybody else. And so I would go in on my own, and my devotions, I would go into the sanctuary, a huge sanctuary, and I'd put music on, and I'd just walk around and pray and sing. And I was thinking about worship, how cool that would be to do that in this room. I thought about your new pastors coming in. They're going to have the privilege of being able to do that time to time. Some of you might have the privilege of doing that time to time. And that's just such a place I remember. I felt so close to God when I did that. I don't have a church building that I have the keys to now. I have a campground I have the keys to. That's a little different, but I don't walk around the dorm rooms, you know, putting on them and in the community showers, you know. No, thank you. So surround yourself with more God-made things to hear God's voice better. Think about that. Write that down. That might be a good thing for you. That's why I would suggest doing that here in the church. Or if you don't have keys to the church, you have keys to God's creation. And there's places, especially now that the weather's getting better, even though we just had a big snowstorm. It's Nebraska. We'll probably have one or two more before we're all said and done, right? Especially this part of the state. God bless you. You guys seem to have some weird weather out here every once in a while. It's becoming that weather time where you can get out and just spend adequate time in nature with God. Just like Gideon. Go find a place, a nook where you can hide yourself from everybody else. And just start singing to the Lord. Talk out loud to God. And just see if you hear God's voice just a little bit better. The second part of this is that God is the answer. I want you to recognize Gideon was nervous. He was scared. He didn't respond very well when the angel said, "You're going to do this." You would think, all of us think, "God, if you would just show up like an angel, I'll do whatever you say." And Gideon had an angel right in front of him, and he argued with him. So don't be so sure that if all of a sudden God showed up right here, that you would just drop all of your sins and follow him with everything you have, because Gideon sure didn't. But that encourages me, because I get nervous, because I ask God, "Where have you been?" Because I don't always have the answers. That's right. I went to that conference this week. I did that funeral. I was part of the team overseeing that funeral. I met with my pastors yesterday, and I'm preaching today, and I want you to know, I was nervous. So I relate to Gideon. If you feel like that at times in your life, that's okay. God doesn't just condemn you or throw you away because you struggle sometimes with the call of God on your life. I love how God responded to him, though. Gideon, "Be a strong warrior." Gideon says, "Don't take this the wrong way." That's a funny moment of the Bible if you think about it. I could even see a skit, you know, with all the glory of God, and then there's somebody like you and me going, "One moment." You know, it's like, come on. God's like, "What do I got to do?" You know? But how does God answer? He says, "I will help you. I will give you the strength. I will make it happen." All of the questions you have in your life, God is always the answer. Now, I want to even dive in this a little further. He says, "Where have you been?" Have you ever asked that? I do. I do a lot in my life because I'm human, because I struggle. We all do. Don't condemn yourself or feel like you can't be at church because of that. In fact, you probably are a better member of the church admitting that you do struggle with that than those who would act like they don't. But here's the beauty of this moment. First of all, Gideon was in this beautiful valley where he was hidden from the Midianites. I believe that this valley was created by the Lord with the purpose that one day Gideon would be able to protect his family in a difficult time. But that was created thousands of years before Gideon ever showed up on the scene. Because what we know of God is God has planned ahead for what's going to happen. And so God knew that there was going to be a moment that somebody's going to need this spot. So I'm going to build this beautiful little hill and valley because he's going to be hidden from the Midianites, and I'm going to save him. He said, "God, where have you been?" And God's saying, "I've been here from the beginning. And the very thing you're using right now, I made for you, and you just don't see it." You see that? "God, where have you been?" "I was here the whole time." The other beauty of this moment, and this again makes me laugh, Gideon says, "You did all these things so long ago, but where have you been?" He's saying this to an angel. "Where have you been? I'm standing right in front of you." There's a lot of times in my life where I kind of argue with God, and I feel like eventually I realize God's side of it, and I think, "Oh, I was way off." God was right. I didn't see it, but God was right there. I just encourage you, when you're asking that question in your life, again, in our physical world, it's hard to see. But if we could see through God's eyes and have a sense of the spiritual, we'd recognize God didn't abandon you, and he's not ignoring you. He's with you the whole time. You just need to lean in and trust him, and he'll provide the way. We could be talking to angels and don't even know it. How many times has God saved me and I didn't even know it? When I was driving down the road and somebody was heading that way, or there was somebody with an evil intent on my life or my family, or I was in a difficult place and God saved me and I wasn't even aware. Probably hundreds of times. Praise the Lord. God, where have you been? He's with you right now. He hasn't abandoned you. So that's God's voice. Now I also want to talk about God's choice, because this scripture has some good things about that, and there's 2 points to that as well. In God's choice, we see God's perspective, and then we also see that God's called us to work hard. So first, God's perspective. God called Gideon a strong warrior. We would call Gideon a whiny complainer, right? From what we see. God saw something in him that he didn't see in himself. And God had to call it out of him. How did God know it was there? Because God made him. God created him. And he put that inside, knowing there's going to be a moment it's going to come out. God knows you better than you know yourself. And there's things God sees in you that you can't even see. And so when there's an opportunity that comes before you and your first thought is, that can't be me. I'm the weakest person in my family. I come from this place. I don't have the power. You are actually sounding a lot like Gideon, which tells me you're the perfect candidate for God to do something great through. In fact, if you don't want to do those things, it'd be better for you to say, okay, God. It's almost like reverse psychology, right? The more we fight it, the more God's like, yes, you're the one. Take that to heart, because all of us know people in this community that we think are rotten sinners and maybe feel like they would never come to the Lord. And I'm telling you now, they could be the very person God uses to save and change this whole community someday. In fact, that's how God usually does it. Because God loves an underdog. Look through Scripture all the time. God picks people that we wouldn't have picked. But he picks them because he knows who they are on the inside. He puts something in there nobody can see yet. And when that thing comes out, all the glory and praise is going to go to God. Because people are going to look at you and me and say, they couldn't do that. I know them. That's the power of God. And that's why God loves that underdog. So Alliance, Calvary, Pastor John, Terry, everybody here, the Jacobos. You feel like an underdog? You're right where God wants you to be. God's perspective is there's things he sees in you you can't see in yourself. And one of the things God saw in Gideon is he knew how to work hard. I love this moment where the angel's sitting under this beautiful tree in this nice surrounding, watching Gideon work. It says he's watching him do his work. Now, he's not just working, he's risking his life, right, because he doesn't want the Midian scene. He's taking care of his family, which is another beautiful thing. See, those things are kind of lost in this story. It's accentuated that he complained, like we all do, but it's heroic what he's doing right now. He's doing the hard work, even though it wasn't easy, because his family needs to eat. And the angel, on behalf of God, is sitting there enjoying it. Why did God pick Gideon? Because Gideon knew how to work hard. I do these update videos for our network every couple of weeks. And I have a little tagline that I say at the end of my video that's become a little, it's my motto is what people say. And I tell people to walk holy, work hard, and to worship him. So it's a WH thing. Walk holy unto the Lord, work hard, and worship him, worship God. A lot of that I got from working with Pastor Dwight. In fact, the issue that really that we're talking about here is that working hard. A lot of DYDs back when I was the youth director of Nebraska that I interacted with across the nation, they would go on tours with their superintendent. Maybe they got to preach at times with their superintendent. And I did some of those things. But you know what I did a lot with my superintendent, Pastor Dwight? We worked hard. He'd say, Toby, we're going to the camp and we're pouring cement. Or we're going out to this church and we're going to help them clean out their sanctuary. He knew how to work hard, which is a Nebraska identity, right? Nebraska, especially Alliance. This is a blue-collar, hard-working town, and I'm proud of that. You should be proud of that. But that gets God's attention because he loves a hard worker. And so God picked Gideon because he knew how to work hard. Here's my encouragement to you. Whether you feel like you're hearing God's voice or not, and you're not sure what God's planning for your life, and you're not sure that you could ever make a difference, you know what you can do right now, whatever God's called, put you in your place right now, is you can work hard. You can be excellent at what you do. And when you do that, God will use that for his glory. In fact, that's a form of worship. I believe it, working hard. It's unto the Lord. And there'll be people in heaven with great rewards that didn't even know it was coming because they simply rolled up their sleeves and worked hard. And I'll tell you this. I was the camp director for many years, and I led these camps. Tirza was one of those that came and worked at camp. In fact, I was thinking of you because I saw that we're doing a money thing for a pie in the face. And I don't know if you're one of the candidates, but I hope it's you. Oh, you were last year? See, she'd be very popular, wouldn't she? Every year we could do her. I would have done her. In fact, if I could still give to that for her, I will do it right now. No offense. We worked at camp. And it's just, I saw her pour her heart out for students there. Some of you have done it. If you haven't, I encourage you, if you ever can, volunteer to work at camp. There's about 350 students there. There's 100 volunteers every year working. My greatest job wasn't necessarily recruiting the students. It was trying to find the leaders. And I'll tell you, the people who are going to have bigger mansions than me in heaven are the kids' camp male dorm leaders. They are saints. There should be churches named after them in the future. Because that's not easy. But we need them. In fact, as I said that, some of you may have felt God nudge you and say, that's you. Praise the Lord. Tell me afterwards. Come talk to Jennifer because we need you. We need to work hard as unto the Lord. And then that final part of the scripture, I love it because he says, beating the Midianites will be as easy as beating up one man. Now that sounds like a weird verse. Is God advocating fighting? Some of us enjoy a good fight, right? So maybe, I guess you could use that scripture in that way. But that's not where I'm going with this. The reason this is significant is because Gideon's big story that God did is that he took an army of just a couple hundred people and defeated the Midianite army of 10,000 plus. And he started with a higher number, but God kept whittling it down. When you're getting ready for a big battle, usually it's like I'm trying to recruit all these male dorm leaders, right? God was saying, no, we're going to make it less, and we're going to make it less, and we're going to... And he's doing this with a guy that questioned him from the very beginning, right? Gideon's story also is he needed signs from the Lord. If we were talking about this later, he put a fleece out and said, God, make it pour your dew on everything except the mat. He wakes up the next morning, and that happened, right? You and I would think, I'm ready. He goes, okay, I need another one. I'm not sure. Who is this guy? God kept doing this with him over and over because he got the glory. And then it was a massive victory where the underdog won. Probably one of the greatest in the history of the world. And God used it with a guy that knew how to work hard. So when God said, I'm going to make it as easy as beating up one man, Gideon had no idea what he was going to face later. But I guarantee when he's getting ready to take on that thousands of army members with just a couple hundred, he remembered God said it would be easy as one man. I might be looking at 10,000, but this is actually, I have the advantage because God is on my side. If you're facing a difficult situation right now where you feel like you can't win, I want you to know, trust in the Lord and you have the advantage because God on your side outnumbers whatever you're facing in this world today. So hold on to that because that's Gideon's story. So here's the crux of this message again is God's voice and God's choice. What's our role? We need to listen for God's voice. Listen to his voice and then honor his choice. Put yourself in a place to hear God, and when God chooses, do what he says. Why don't you bow your heads all over this room? We're not going to have an altar call because we're moving into a ceremony, but I do want to have a moment to pray. In the first altar call that we'll pray about, and you'll just stay at your seat, but I'm going to have you raise your hand. If you feel like you struggle hearing God's voice and you want better clarity to hear God's voice in whatever way that means for you, don't feel ashamed. This could be most of us. But if you want to hear God's voice better in your life, would you raise your hand? Keep that hand up, Lord, for every hand in the air. I pray, God, that you would speak to them clearly in their life. God, help them to hear your voice even better. Lord, let them take some of the lessons you taught us today and apply it to their lives. And I pray you just show up in a real, incredible, powerful way that they would know you are there and you're speaking in Jesus' name. Thank you. You can put those hands down. Second one, if you're struggling with obeying God, God's choice. This could be as simple as maybe a sin factor in your life that you're struggling resisting, or maybe it's a call of God in your life to minister in some way and you're pushing back on it. But you want strength and power to honor God's choice better in your life. Would you raise your hand? Whatever it is. God, you see these hands. And I pray right now, Lord, that all over this room, that God, you would give them the power to honor your choice in their lives. I pray that through your Holy Spirit, you would empower them to do things they're not capable of on their own, but by the grace of God, that they would see mountains move, trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Everybody look up here. I hope an angel shows up on your doorstep this week. And if it does, tell me. I want to testify to the whole state. But something tells me that most of us in this room are going to have a moment this week where all of a sudden we're going to realize we're in the presence of God and he's speaking to me. I don't know what that moment's going to look like for you, but when that moment happens, I encourage you to just do a couple things. One is write it down, record it, whatever, remember it. That's powerful. And then two, praise God. Because anytime God shows up, it's a miracle. It's a miracle. How many of you have had God show up in your life? Let's just praise him now. God, praise you for showing up in my life, for helping me when I didn't deserve it, for forgiving my sins, for saving my family, for saving me. Thank you, God, for this church, giving me a place I belong. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to move into the ceremony now. And this is how this is going to work. There'll be three different parts to this, and it's kind of like a wedding, which, incidentally, I guess if anybody was ready to get married, we could do that too. But I haven't done a wedding in a while. Local church pastors do a lot more weddings than superintendents do. The first will be a charge to the pastor and their family. The second will be a charge to the church leadership, so that includes the board and anybody serving in an official role in the church. And then the third will be to all of us present today representing the body of Christ. The first charge, I'll ask the pastors to stand. I'll read a charge, and I'll ask them to answer, by God's grace, I do. I want you to listen to the charge and say it, because it's not to me. It's you're saying that to God. Then I'll ask the leadership to stand where you're at, and we'll do the same thing. And by God's grace, I do. And then as a church, we'll have a stand, and I'll ask you to say, by God's grace, I do. We'll have a time of prayer. We'll have a time for pictures, because this is a wonderful moment. We want to remember 100 years from now. And then we're going to eat like crazy, right? So let's start with Pastor John and Michelle. Would you stand where you're at? Your family can stand with you. Elisha, if you want to join them. Thank you guys for accepting the call of God to come here. And I honor you for it. And as superintendent, I bless you. Whatever authority God's put on me, I bless you. And I believe God's going to do great things in this place. 1 Timothy 3:1 said, here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. And in chapter 4, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching, and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. So you, Pastor John, Michelle, Elisha, people of God, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith and take hold of the eternal life to which you are called. I charge you to be a person of integrity. Without character, you have no effective ministry. Be a person of prayer. Intercede for your family, your church, and for this city and region. And be a servant, imitating Jesus when he came to this earth for his dad, Pastor John and his family. If you commit yourself to these charges before God, make it known by saying, by God's grace, I do. Amen. You may be seated. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Pastor. To the leadership of the church, would you stand where you're at now? This is for the board and anybody serving in an active leadership role. Don't be shy. Often those are the behind-the-scenes warriors. But stand. Francisco, I called you Gerardo. Francisco's standing in spirit. Gerardo's my old youth pastor. Church leadership, Calvary. I charge you, leaders of this church, to hold up your pastor's hands as Aaron and Hur did with Moses in Exodus. The pastor needs you to stand with him and his family. Also, speak that which is edifying. Give wise counsel for the fulfillment of the vision God has given your pastor. And finally, support your pastor with friendship, with finances, and with faithfulness. Leaders of Calvary, if you commit yourself to these charges before God, make it known by saying, by God's grace, I do. Amen. You may be seated. Let's clap for the leadership. Let's praise the Lord. And then finally, the church body. So that's all of us present. Stand your feet if you were. And in spirit. So I'm going off the cuff just a little bit, Calvary, but I've been able to be a part of several installations. I've been the superintendent almost 5 years. And I can tell you that it's always a give and take, right? There's going to be incredible moments. There's going to be some tough moments. But I just want to charge you with a very practical thing. I just encourage you, commit yourselves fully to this church for at least 1 year. I've seen a lot of people who liked the old style of this or maybe didn't have as close a relationship as this, and then a couple months in, that just hurts a church. And I'm praying that God would protect this church. I pray for this church in a consistent basis. I'm always praying that God protect you and strengthen you. So don't give up. I know that's a strong word. You may not know me that well, but I'm a leader for you and for this state. And I charge you, Calvary believers, don't give up right now. We need you. So I charge you to first and foremost pray for your pastor and his family. Lift them up to the Lord regularly in prayer. Also, give them a chance. Take the things that they propose and initiate seriously and try them with a sincere heart. And finally, be faithful disciples. Remember, their task is to equip you all together to do the work of the church as one. So if you commit yourself to these charges, Calvary people, make it known by saying, by God's grace, I do. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Pastor John and family, would you guys come and stand in the center if you would? There you go. Just come on right up here. I'd like to ask the board of the church to come and join us now. Why don't you take a step forward, Pastor John, you and your family. We're going to come behind you and around you. Jennifer, if you could help me, I'd like to take some pictures so I could show the rest of the district. Pastor John, a lot of times when we do a pastoral installation, there's a big shepherd's staff we give them, and we ran out of those when I became superintendent. So my wife and I created a baton that says the Nebraska Ministry Network. Pastor John, we're passing the baton to you. Let's pray for our pastors now, if we would. Terry, I'm going to ask you to lead us.
Papa God, you told us when this process first started, you told us through Pastor Jim that you would not leave us shepherdless, that you would give to us a man of integrity to watch over us and to guide us and lead us in the name of Jesus, a man of prayer, a man of worship, a man of integrity. So now we thank you, Lord, and we ask for your blessing of protection on this family. We ask for your anointing to increase over them and through them daily, weekly, monthly. We ask you, Lord, to establish them in our hearts as we establish ourselves in theirs. We ask you, Father God, to bless them with wisdom and understanding that will surpass what's required for shepherding a bunch of humans like us.
Anybody else? And Father, we just, as a network, we endorse them, Father, and we thank you, God, for bringing us such great people into our fellowship. And God, we empower them now to be the pastors of this church as unto you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Don't move. Gather around. Everybody smile. Take out your cameras if you want a picture. But we're going to pose. We're going to smile for maybe 20 seconds. Take pictures.